Jai Guru, Namaste. So we'll begin this session with a prayer. Let us all turn within. Feel that just behind our closed eyes, just behind our heartbeat, just behind our breath, the Divine Beloved, all our great gurus are present, listening and responding to our prayer. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Bhagavan Krishna, Jesus Christ, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswarji, Beloved Gurudev, Paramahamsa Yoganandaji, Saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Beloved God, Beloved Gurudev, teach me to find thy presence on the altar of my constant peace and in the joy that springs from deep meditation. Finding thee within, I shall find thee without, in all people, under all conditions. Beloved Gurudev, bless me as I make the effort to be calmly active and actively calm, to be a prince of peace, seated on the throne of poise, directing the kingdom of all activities. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So again, welcome to all the participants joining this event virtually or in person. And we pray that through this satsang, we will all be inspired to be princes of peace. So we will start with a passage from Bhagavad Gita, where Bhagavan Krishna tells us how to get transcendental peace, or peace that passeth all understanding, through wisdom, which is obtained by focused devotion and self-control. Many of you may be familiar with this. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatparaha samyateendriya jnanam labdhva param shantim achirena atigachati. The man of devotion who is engrossed in the infinite, who has controlled the senses, achieves wisdom. Having obtained wisdom, he immediately attains supreme peace. So from here we understand that by cultivating Shraddha, or heart's natural love, as Swami Sri Yukteswarji explains, this is naturally implanted in each one of us. So by cultivating Shraddha, which is implanted in each Jivatman by the Paramatman, and by focusing on the goal of uniting the Jivatman with the Paramatman, and by keeping the five senses under the soul governance, then one gains wisdom. Obtaining wisdom, then immediately one finds divine peace. Wonderful formula, isn't it? By the way, this sloka from the Gita, this was the favorite of Swami Shyamananda Ji, who was the General Secretary before. till 1971. Also, Swami Shantanandaji, our dear Swamiji, he also used to quote this often. And both of them lived their lives according to these principles. And they were shining examples. Okay, as the saying goes, with all thy getting, get understanding. So let us first get some wisdom from Guruji's teachings. Guruji tells us that this creation is a dream of God, structured on God's thoughts. So it is a structured dream. Okay? The dream which we normally have, that is unstructured. Whereas this dream is a structured dream. And we all may recall from Autobiography, chapter 30, Law of Miracles, where Guruji tells us about the illusion of reality. Guruji quotes Sir James Jeans in The Mysterious Universe, where he says, the stream of knowledge is heading toward a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look like a great thought than like a great machine. And 20th century science, Guruji says, is thus sounding like a page from the Hoary Vedas. From science then, Guruji says, if it must be, let man learn the philosophical truth that there is no material universe. Its warp and woof is Maya, illusion. Under analysis, all its mirages of reality dissolve. And over the last several decades, in various ways, many scientific discoveries and experiments are validating this. For example, I will give you one latest example. Very recently, the Nobel Prize in Physics for 2022 was awarded to three scientists using groundbreaking experiments: Alain Aspect, John Clauser, and Anton Zeilinger have demonstrated the potential to investigate and control particles that are in entangled states and thus validate the principles of quantum physics. As per some of the leading physicists, this leads to the conclusion that the universe is not real, or as it seems. Very interesting, isn't it? The scientific discoveries are validating this truth of our Vedanta. But to awaken from dream, it is one thing to know intellectually that it is all a dream. But to really awaken from the dream, in order to realize our true nature or to attain self-realization, it is good to know the way how God has structured this creation. Then the way we have come down, then using the path we can ascend and go back. That is the science of yoga, which can be applied by everyone. It's very universal. Okay, I will give you some reference. Those of you who feel like understanding in depth about this, how the creation has come about, if you wish, you may study The Holy Science, written by Swami Sri Yukteswarji, which was quoted by Swami Chidananda yesterday. How in Serampore, after he completed that book, Mahavatar Babaji appeared to him. So this book, from this book, you will get a very good idea of how this creation has been made out of ideas only. The creation has been made only out of ideas. Very interesting, isn't it? And what is a common basic desire for every one of us? You and I, everyone, we all have one common desire. Interesting to know, isn't it, what it is? So, I will just quote a little bit from chapter 2 called Goal. That is the most important chapter. In fact, Swami, our Guruji used to advise now and then, go through the second chapter of Holy Science and Science of Religion and 14th chapter of autobiography, Cosmic Consciousness, Experience in Cosmic Consciousness. Okay, here Yukteswarji says in the second chapter, goal. When man understands, even by way of inference, the true nature of this creation, the true relation existing between this creation and himself, and when he further understands that he is completely blinded by the influence of Maya, darkness, and that it is the bondage of darkness alone which makes him forget his real self and brings about all his sufferings, he naturally wishes to be relieved from all these evils. This relief from evil or liberation from the bondage of Maya becomes the prime object of his life. Isn't it so clear in principle? Though it seems to be very hard to realize. But we all have hope. In the last chapter of autobiography, Guruji assures us, based on the testimony of every saint who had penetrated to the core of reality, that there exists a divine universal plan which is beautiful and full of joy. It's so inspiring to hear that, isn't it? There is a divine universal plan which is beautiful and full of joy. Then Guruji quotes specifically Prophet Isaiah, to whom God had revealed this plan in very simple words. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So we can understand that each one of us, we are meant to be princes of peace. That is God's plan for our lives, to be princes of peace. So let us dwell on this topic of how to be a prince of peace 24/7. Nowadays we hear that, na? 24/7. So how to be a prince of peace 24/7 in inner lives and outer lives? How? In general, we find that many people are out of tune with the divine plan. So they live in misery and undergo all sorts of suffering, that is not necessary. So we need to first instill in our minds the importance of restoring our consciousness to its native state of soul peace. Like yesterday, Swami Chidananji mentioned about being anchored in our own real nature of the soul, so that we may align our lives with the divine plan. You know, the whole of life, we just condense what we want to do, align with the divine plan. For that, we need to find out how to be a prince of peace all the time. Then I will quote from Guruji, peace is a solve for all mental maladies. Only those who have self-control in eating, behaving, in matrimonial relations, and in being honest and economical are really peaceful. Peace is found in surrender to good through devotion. People who are loving, who practice stillness and delight in meditation and good actions are really peaceful. Peace is the altar of God, the condition in which happiness exists. So, by practicing the presence of peace all the time, we will fulfill the above conditions for peace to manifest. So let me illustrate with some of the points which Guruji has mentioned here. A person, for example, without self-control in eating, he will eventually find out that he is faced with issues in his physical health. He will have, diseases and all sorts of challenges. Indigestion, stomach ailments, heart problem, etc. And as he suffers, then he starts worrying and thus loses his peace. as his consciousness identifies easily with the worries. Okay? Then, peace is found in surrender to good through devotion. At times, it is difficult to be good. Perhaps we are asked to do something that is beyond the ordinary, or we are being unfairly treated. Like today we had that topic in the morning about the power of forgiveness. That is a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Sometimes some two sisters are there, two brothers are there. He said, I can forgive everybody, I cannot forgive my brother. So, you know, it becomes so strong, this type of, you know, disturbances. So it's difficult to be good. No matter how we are treated, from our side, the reaction is always positive. It's always divine. It's always in accordance with dharma. That means we don't violate the divine principles. So that is very difficult to do. But if we do that, then we find our peace is always there. You know, once a devotee came and said that similar problem, that fight among the relatives. And because of that, slowly that person had cancer and all sorts of problems. I told him, it is not only just physical disease which you have to take care of. I asked him, do you have any difficulty with anybody? He said, yes, with this relative, I hate that person. I don't want to look at him. You see, that is eating you up from inside. That hate, that anger, that animosity, that is what is working on you. Why don't you try to forgive your relative or pray for him, and then just, you know, take him out of your mind, out of your consciousness. So the person tried. So later on, after a few years, he was becoming more and more peaceful. You see, this surrender to good through devotion, it's a big subject. But if we do that, we will see that how we all change. Later on, I will tell you one more dramatic story to illustrate this point. Okay, then people who are loving, who practice stillness and delight in meditation and good actions, they are really peaceful, okay? During my ashram life, I have interacted with senior monks like Swami Bhavananji, Swami Anandamayiji, Swami Shantanandaji, and many others who have come within the range of my investigation, who have really lived the spiritual life according to these principles. And it was always inspiring to see how they would carry an aura of peace wherever they went. You don't have to say anything. Just being with them, you feel the peace emanating from them. Okay, let us pause for a while and go through one inspiring and unique poem by Guruji. It's titled, I Shall Catch Thee. Guruji has a very interesting way of connecting with God and making it so interesting for us, you know, the relation between us and God. So in this poem, Guruji says, I cast my net of devotion in the vast sea of my mind. Thou hast fled from me many times, diving deeper in the farthest depths of peace. I am unceasingly casting bigger nets of devotion. Everywhere, over the surf, on the wavelets of life, over the waves of stars, thou wilt be caught in the deep nest of my adoration. All I know is that I am a fisherman, and I must keep fishing for thee until I find thee. Storms and gales of trials rock my boat of effort. I am being tossed, but I shall keep casting my net of love until thou dost get entangled in it and unable to escape again. Thou wilt surrender thyself to me. I know that sometime I shall catch thee in the net of my devotion. Beautiful, isn't it? Aren't we inspired by this poem to repeatedly cast our net of devotion in the calm depths of peace? So Guruji has given a beautiful prayer illustrating this. He said, in the stillness of my soul, possess me with thy love. In the stillness of my soul, possess me with thy love. So that illustrates that. That means we have to practice the techniques, get the stillness. Then in that stillness, then we pour our hearts, we offer our devotion and love, and then God will be caught in the net of devotion. Okay, let us listen with Shraddha to Guruji's words of wisdom about peace in nervousness, cause and cure. Guruji says, we should pattern our life by a triangular guide. Calmness and sweetness are the two sides. The base is happiness. Whether one acts quickly or slowly, in solitude or in the busy moods of men, his center should be peaceful, poised. God is everywhere, Guruji says, controlling planets, galaxies, yet he is not disturbed. Though he is in this world, he is also above this world. We must reflect his image and likeness. We must meditate often and hold on to the peaceful after effects. We must send out thoughts of love, goodwill, harmony. So we have two important points to absorb and apply in our daily lives. One, to meditate regularly and holding on to the peaceful after effects. Two, right behavior of sending out only thoughts of love, goodwill, harmony. Our beloved Dayamataji pinpoints the need for everyone to remain peaceful through meditation in finding the joy within you, under the satsang, solving your problems with guidance from within. Ma says, when an individual is excited, restless, or emotionally overwrought, he cannot feel or express intuition, but becomes confused in thinking and makes wrong decisions. That is why it is important for all mankind, not only those who are seeking God, but everyone, to learn to be quiet by practicing meditation. Guruji's techniques of concentration and meditation are therefore invaluable. Okay, a personal experience shared by a doctor in Mumbai that comes to my mind. This doctor was going to present her first paper in an important national seminar. Just before her turn came, she got nervous and she was unsure of her presentation. It happens to all of us, isn't it? When we do something the first time, so it happens. So immediately she went to the back of the hall where nobody was there. So she practiced 6 kriyas, felt very calm. Now inspiration came back and then she gave the talk. And that was one of the best talks she had ever given. She felt as if she was a pro. It was wonderful, you know. So this, I mean, giving you a practical example. How Guruji's methods of concentration and, as Ma says, Guruji's techniques of concentration and meditation are invaluable. So this devotee applied it in that way, in the practical situation. And a personal story from mine also comes to my mind. Recent in one of the monastic tours, I had misplaced my specs. And I was troubling all the devotees, where they are. They were searching in the car, here, there, everywhere. After searching for half a day or more, then finally I searched my bag more carefully. I found it was in my bag only. This happens to us also, isn't it? Sometimes we have lost some key. And we are frantically looking. There is no, you know, we are in a hurry. And when you are in a hurry like that, and we find the keys are right in front of our eyes, but we don't see. And when we calm down and then relax and just look, you say, oh, right here. That's why I coined this phrase, which will be easy to remember. When you are in a hurry, you cannot catch hurry. When you are in a hurry, you cannot catch hurry. And recently I shared this point with the class 10 students of our school in Ranchi, Kanya Vidyalaya and the Vidyalaya. The students had come down to our ashram. So in the Dhyana Mandir, we had a session with them. They are going to appear for the public exam. Before that, to give a little inspiration, we had a session with them. In that, I told them this important point. Prepare well for the exam. But when you are giving the exam, just be relaxed. Let it come in a natural way. You see how many people practice that? In general, what will be the tendency? As the exam comes near, our exam fever also goes up. We start getting more and more tense, nervous, and keep, oh, I forgot this point, I forgot that point, I have to remember this, I have to do that, like that. But when you practice well, prepare well, and then you relax, then you find you are in a natural state, and all you know, everything just comes out very, you know. So the students, some of the students were very thankful for that session, that how that will be very helpful for them. And Guruji enlightens us in the little book titled Inner Peace on the importance of leading a balanced inner and outer life. To be calmly active and actively calm. A prince of peace sitting on the throne of poise, directing the kingdom of activity, as we had done the prayer. That is to be spiritually healthy. You know, we all talk about physical health, mental health. How to be spiritually healthy? So this is the way to be spiritually healthy. To be calmly active and actively calm. Too much activity, Guruji says, makes one an automaton. And too much calmness makes one lazy and impractical. Peace is the enjoyment of life. Activity is the expression of life. Very beautiful, isn't it? Peace is the enjoyment of life and activity is the expression of life. In Only Love, our beloved Daya Mataji tells in one of the satsangas, answering a question by a devotee about the importance of balance. Ma says, if you go to the Bhagavad Gita and the words of Jesus in the Bible, we are taught that the true path to self-realization is the path that combines meditation with right activity. Both are essential in order to experience divine consciousness. And Ma says her own example, her own personal experience. When I first came to the ashram many years ago, I had one dream. And that was to devote myself as many hours a day as I could to long and deep meditation. There was no thought in my mind to do organizational work. I served in the kitchen. I did everything that was asked of me, but there was no desire other than to get to God, to have His divine contact as fast as I could. But I noticed that as often as I tried to remain only on the meditative level of activity, Master, that is Guruji, pulled me back into the work. For a long time, this troubled me. Until one day He said to me, you must realize this. Seeking God means also to serve Him in mankind. You cannot be wholly immersed in God's divine consciousness until you have learned how to balance your life with meditation plus right activity. Okay, now story time. There's a wonderful story narrated by Guruji in lesson number 1. I think all of you would have read that. But no matter how many times we narrate, it's always very inspiring. How King Janaka put Shukdev to test. So King Janaka told Shukdev, before he would accept him as a disciple, you have to pass my test. What was the test? Both the hands, two lamps were placed and oil was filled to the brim and the lamps were lit. He said, holding the hand lamps, you go through all the rooms in the palace and come back and tell me what you have seen. And not even a single drop should spill. If one drop is spilled, then I will not accept you as a disciple. So King Sukhdev was very careful and very diligent. He made sure that no oil will drop. And King Janaka made one more, make it more complicated. He asked the servants to go along. As soon as the oil become less, pour more oil. So it's always kept full. So with that, when he finished all thing, full of excitement, Sukhdev came. I have done it. Then King Janaka asked him, what did you see in that room? What did you see in that room? He said, nothing. I was so focused that I should not spill the oil. I didn't notice anything else. Then King Janaka told him, I am disappointed. So you didn't pass my test. I told you not to spill a drop of oil. At the same time, I asked you to carefully observe each room and then come back. So go again. So this time it took much longer. And when he came back, he was not at all excited. He was very calm. And he could answer all the questions. Isn't it a beautiful story? That illustrates, Guruji says, the two morals of this story illustrate the basis of the world's troubles. One-sidedness and attachment. One-sidedness and attachment. We were intended to live in the world, but not to be bound by it. To fulfill our material duties in life, but to center our consciousness in God. Contrary to Sukhdeva's preoccupation with the oil lamps and his consequent neglect of outward duties, most people today have spilled all the precious oil of inner God perception while racing after external experiences. And unlike the wise King Janaka, who was detached from the vast material treasures of his kingdom, modern men and women dote on their transitory possessions as the sole source of happiness. So then Guruji advises, so remember, dear students, that to be mentally and physically idle, neglecting to perform the duties required of you, is to be forsaken by God and man. And to carry out your duties but forget God is to be like the mule carrying a bag of gold. It gets a little satisfaction by receiving food as a reward for carrying its load, but it does not use or appreciate the priceless treasure on its back. Similarly, one can receive a little satisfaction through performing one's duties, but miss the greatest happiness of life, which comes from being conscious of the God bliss you are carrying within your soul. Yesterday, Swami Chidananji went at length describing that within us is that joy, within that is the peace, within us is that fulfillment. So, without focusing on that, if you are only concentrated on the externals, carrying out our duties, as Guruji said, you will get a little satisfaction, but you are missing the point. The infinite happiness which is locked up inside, that we are not experiencing that. So to perform all proper outer duties with concentration, while being inwardly aware of God's, gold of God's presence, is the ideal mode of living, the way to everlasting happiness. Okay. It is easy to understand about peacefulness during meditation. It's natural. We all want to experience peace. But how to be a prince of peace during activity? That is a question we have to answer. In other words, how to be calmly active? In the Bhagavad Gita, we find the methodology to achieve this in chapter 2, 48th sloka. 248. And Guruji's commentary in God Talks with Arjuna lucidly explains the principles involved in this advice of Bhagavan Krishna. So, I will read only some portions and I will give you homework. So, you can go through the whole explanation by Guruji for this stanza. What is the stanza? Yogastha kuru karmani sangam tektva dhananjaya. Siddhya asiddhya samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. That means, O Dhananjaya, remaining immersed in yoga, perform all actions, forsaking attachment to their fruits, being indifferent to success and failure. This mental evenness is termed yoga. Yoga means perfect evenness, perfect balance. Mental evenness, Guruji says, the portion I told you, couple of paragraphs I will read, or even one paragraph. Mental evenness is the native state of the soul. The ordinary man, by identifying himself with the world, diverses his consciousness from union with spirit. The remedy for this all too often disastrous disassociation lies in performing one's actions while inwardly united with the joy of spirit. And, okay, one more paragraph. The only way one can permanently establish himself, the inner evenness of yoga, is by meditation. That we all of us know. So the words of Krishna to Arjuna are particularly significant to the meditating devotee. Any yogi practicing meditation who is impatient or easily disturbed by the seemingly meager and slow results of meditation. Sounds very familiar, isn't it? Sometimes we do meditation for a long time and we still feel that we are not getting anything. So we become impatient or we become doubtful. Then we have got a selfish motive of focusing on the fruits of our actions. We should meditate only with the thought of pleasing and loving God. Then yoga or divine union with the immutable spirit is sure to follow. Okay, then Guruji also enlightens us in the little book. Sorry, it ho gaya. So in the last para I read out now, we have the secret. What is that? First, meditate deeply. Forgetting the results. Like Swami Sri Yukteswarji gave a nice formula. In meditation, don't expect anything. Don't look for anything. Simply launch yourself into His blissful presence. Launch yourself into His blissful presence. So that formula, that is without looking for the results, then the results come. That is the paradox. When we don't look for the results, then the results come. And then, after we meditate like that deeply, without focusing on the fruits of our actions, then hold on to the after effects of meditation as divine vibrations of peace, wisdom, love, joy, etc. As we engage in our daily duties to the body, family, community, nation, and the world. Now, there can be a misinterpretation. That is, avoiding the work itself. Many devotees get this idea sometime or other. Like, as soon as we get interested in spiritual life, we think that now I will leave everything else. I don't have to work so hard. I don't have to do my duties properly. It's not important. We have to be warned against that. That is the misinterpretation. That is to avoid the work itself as a cause of unsettling us from being a prince of peace, or to think that we may just do the minimum so that we do not exert ourselves too much. Isn't it? It's a very difficult subject to understand why it is being said like this. Okay, I will share one of my personal experiences. Decades before, when I was serving in Dakshineswar Ashram, we used to be very few monks and very few sevaks also. Even staff used to be very few. So, almost 3 or 4 days a week or even more, I have to go out into the city and do the purchases for the ashram and all of that. So, those days, we didn't have the facilities also. We used to go by public transport. So, hanging on in the bus or hanging in the auto rickshaw, sitting or traveling my local train, those times I saw something interesting. If I made the effort to practice the presence, like Divine Mother, I love you, or Guruji, I love you, or Jai Guru, whatever. In that way, when I used to make the effort, then I found, irrespective of outer conditions, I could do that. Whereas, when I became careless, then the outer things, quite a lot, I mean, they impinged on my consciousness, and my consciousness used to get disturbed by that. So that means, making the inner effort is the most important thing to remember. It is not just the outer conditions. Because even in the midst of noisy conditions, outer conditions, difficult conditions, it is possible to feel. I will tell you one more story. So during one of those times, I did a lot of purchases for the ashram, carrying some heavy things. Then that day was a Saturday. I had to lead my meditation in the Garpar Kendra, long meditation, in the evening. I did all the purchase. It was a very hot day and I was sweating. So I thought, today I have to make a lot of effort to just stay awake or just to do my meditation. But you know, what happened? I just did the prayer and chanting, and it so beautifully, it was just flowing. And the stillness was so beautiful and devotion was just coming. Then I saw that how is it happening like that? Logically thinking, it should not be happening like that. So, what is the moral of this? That is, it is not the condition or circumstances, it is our attitude that makes the difference. And if you have done our duty to the best of our ability, even under challenging times, Guruji gives us a special gift. He gives us special experience. So this is what, you know, I could see in that. Okay, one more dramatic story which I told you. The same doctor, Bombay doctor. One patient arrived in the clinic, irate patient, was very, you know, disturbed sort of, coming straight from the airport, and who started dictating to the doctor, do this, do that, and things like that. The doctor diagnosed and found that something else is to be done, but the patient was insisting like this. So then he thought, very difficult patient, I will not treat him. But then the doctor is a very senior, very veteran, and a sincere Kriya Yogi, so looked at the picture of Guruji in the clinic, then felt that Guruji was telling her, treat the patient with a loving care. Guruji told her something very difficult to do. But then the devotee said, they took it to heart, okay, this is what I should do now. And the devotee started treating the patient, 2 hours of treatment with a loving care, then writing the prescription. Then that patient said, doctor, in all my travels throughout the world, that person was from America or somewhere, in all my travels, I have never met a doctor like you. How he has changed within the 2 hours completely? That is because the devotee had the right attitude of serving the devotee with loving care, no matter how irksome or how the other person behaved. So, 2 points we have shared now. One is, the attitude is important. It is not hard work that causes spiritual imbalance, but our attitude. And second, we receive Guruji's grace when we least expect it. When we don't think that we will be getting, and we get the grace, Guruji's blessing comes. That is why we should always be in tune with Guruji and try to do the best of your ability, walk in the footsteps of Guruji. About spiritually healthy attitude toward work, Dayamataji tells us in Finding Joy Within You, never be afraid of hard work. People who dislike work are always dodging it. And I can tell you without doubt that they do not succeed on the spiritual path. Over the years, I have seen again and again the negative effects of this wrong attitude in devotees. I will give this much, no more. Or I will do only this because I don't like to do the other one. It is not easy to know God. It cannot be accomplished merely by wishful thinking. To gain the greatest treasure requires that we dedicate our whole of our lives to Him, whether in an ashram or family life. He who thinks only of his own comfort, feeling that if he overextends himself in service, he will go to pieces, does not find God. That means, remain in peace and not go to pieces. Remain in peace and not go to pieces. So what is that then? Our meditation and service to God, both should have their place. We should have a correct perspective. And Guruji himself testifies about hard work. I am sure you all would have read it from Divine Romance. Mind, repository of infinite power. Where Guruji says, whatever, 19 years have gone by since I came here to America. When I see what I have been able to achieve, I have no complaint. I have no regrets. But every bit of it has been hard work. This spirit cannot be had by weaklings. It is possessed only by the valiant. So, be powerful. Before disease and poverty strike you down, make the most of your opportunity you have now. Whatever your present circumstances, make the best of it. No matter how many times you fall down, get up with a determination to be victorious. This is what yesterday Swami Chidananji was inspiring us to become. To be victorious in life. Not to be a victim, but victorious. Whatever I wanted to accomplish, I made up my mind. It was going to be and it was. Try it. You will see how much power you have. You will see this power work. You will have a lot of fun with it. But then we need to have the right balance. As Swami Chidananji always tells us, live the life, serve the cause. Live the life come first. Inner life is first. Have a good inner life, then outer life can be. You do your best in the outer life. So let us dwell on a few practical steps that we can take to maintain calmness. 1. Regular meditation to connect with the inner ocean of peace. 2. Affirmation of positive thoughts and developing right attitude. 3. Devotion and surrender and attunement with Guruji. Sometimes through devotion we are able to rise above that challenge. Immediately we start feeling Guruji is with me. When Guruji is with me, who can be against me? That type of confidence, trust comes. So devotion and surrender and attunement with Guruji. Strong determination to remain calm. Strong determination. No matter what, I am going to remain calm like that. 5. Gratitude, especially when faced with challenges. Think of the blessings we have received. When you are facing a challenge, think of the blessing we have received. Then you find immediately, you say, okay, it's all right, I can manage. 6. Practice of viewing the events as dreams or ideas. That's why we started in the beginning quoting, the whole world is made up of only ideas. It's all a dream of God. So when difficult situations come, it's only a dream. It will soon pass. If you think like that, then you are able to handle it in a much better way. And then seeing God in all and thus never getting irritated, never getting upset. This story I have told you many times, but it is a little bit interesting. That's why I will tell again. Swami Anandamayiji had 2 counselees. So one of the counselees came to Anandamayiji and said, we two are working together in the same department and we don't see eye to eye. We are like North Pole, South Pole. So please shift him somewhere else or shift me somewhere else. We cannot manage. Then Anandamayiji asked that counselee, who is giving you trouble? You say you are having trouble with this person. Who is actually giving you trouble? This counselee monk was very clever, very intuitive. Immediately understood where Swamiji was going. So immediately he told Swamiji, Swamiji, don't tell me to see God in that person. And Swamiji said exactly that. That's what I was going to tell you. Who is giving you trouble? You see God in that person, then your trouble will vanish. And after a few weeks, it happened like that. So this is another way of seeing. If somebody irritates you and makes you upset, you think that God is doing that to me in order to teach me a lesson or in order to help me to develop some right attitude for that reason. Don't take it at face value. This person is giving trouble. He is my enemy. I am not going to, you know, that anything to do with this person. Normally that's how we think. But instead of that, if you try to see God in that person, it will make a lot of difference. Then developing a good sense of humor. So this is also very important. So when something very difficult comes, then you have a good sense of humor, then it is not difficult to handle that situation. Then another homework, finding joy within you, where beloved Dayamataji tells us 10 points to be free from tension. So I will just quickly go through the points, but you please go through in detail in the book. Keep the mind calm through the practice of meditation. Think one thought at a time. Don't interrupt others while they are talking. Let them complete their sentences. Read books that require deep concentration. Learn to eat slowly and preferably in silence. Exercise regularly. Relax. Don't get bogged down in little things. Set aside time for seclusion, when you can be alone with God and have time to think. Keep your mind fixed at all times on the pole star of God's presence. Try always, to the best of your ability, to walk in the footsteps of the Guru. Okay, in summary, it is possible for each one of us to be a prince of peace. In fact, we are expected to be so, according to God's plan. We are all supposed to be princes of peace. That means when we lose our temper, when we become, lose our peace, something unnatural we are doing. That's not natural. To be peaceful is natural. To be joyous is natural. Very difficult to accept that, isn't it? But that is the truth. Saints will not tell lies. They are telling us to be peaceful, to be joyous, that is our real nature. Because we are all children of God. Amritasya Putra, our scriptures tell us. That is, we are all children of immortality. That is our birthright. To be always in joy, to be always in peace, that is our birthright. So the important ingredient to remain peaceful is to regularly meditate. You know, in Yogada, whatever be the topic, we'll go round and round, and finally we come to one point. What is that? Meditate, meditate, meditate. Because that is the most important point. So, important ingredient is regular meditation. Because whenever I see in counseling, when devotees come with a lot of problems, I start listening, then they go on and on, stop, stop, wait for a while. Do you meditate regularly, twice daily? He said, no. All your problems are coming because of that. So, that way, you know, then we concentrate on the main point, that is to regularly meditate, and not just meditating, remain peaceful by holding on to the after effects of meditation throughout the day. We have given so many points today, so you can remember some of them and you can practice all of them. So whatever helpful for you, you please practice. So as we come to the end of the satsang, normally whenever I give satsang, devotees expect that I would sing a chant. That's why in front of me a harmonium is also there. Then many devotees would have thought, Swamiji to shuru mein, that in the beginning he will do satsang, you know, chant. But today I thought I will do the opposite. Instead of singing the chant in the beginning, I will sing the chant in the end. So now we will have a chant. What is this chant? This chant illustrates about the Shanti Mandir, Shanti Kutir. So we will sing the song in English and Bengali. Why Bengali? Because Guruji has sung it in Bengali. Think that Even if you don't understand, the meaning is very clear. You may not understand word by word, but you understand the exact, the general meaning. That is, in the temple of silence, in the temple of peace, I will meet thee, I will touch thee, I will love thee, and coax thee to my altar of, into my inner altar. So that is the song. And then first, we get in the peace, temple of peace, then temple of samadhi, where that oneness with God's joy. So peace and joy, you know, this song itself will give us that feeling of the vibration of peace and joy. So with that, we'll close. We'll do that and close. Temple of silence, in the temple of peace, in the temple of silence, in the temple of peace, I will meet thee, I will touch thee, I will love thee, and coax thee to my altar of peace, and coax thee to my altar of peace. Temple of samadhi, in the temple of bliss, in the temple of samadhi, in the temple of bliss, I will meet thee, I will touch thee, I will love thee, and coax thee to my altar of bliss, and coax thee to my altar of bliss. In the temple of silence, in the temple of peace, in the temple of silence, in the temple of peace, I will meet thee, I will touch thee, I will love thee, and coax thee to my altar of peace, and coax thee to my altar of peace. In the temple of samadhi, in the temple of bliss, in the temple of samadhi, in the temple of bliss, I will meet thee, I will touch thee, I will love thee, and coax thee to my altar of bliss, and coax thee to my altar of bliss. Shanti mundire, shanti kutire, shanti mundire, shanti kutire, tomare heribo, tomare parashibo, bhalo bashibo, bhalo bashibo, bulaye anibo. Samadhi mandire, samadhi kutire, samadhi mandire, samadhi kutire, tomare heribo, tomare parashibo, bhalo bashibo, bhalo bashibo, bulaye anibo. Samadhi bedi pore, shanti mandire, shanti kutire, shanti mandire, shanti kutire, tomare heribo, tomare parashibo, bhalo bashibo, bhalo bashibo. Samadhi kutire, shanti mandire, Just for a few moments, let us experience that peace that passeth all understanding, and the joy coming out of that peace. We'll have our closing prayer. Divine Mother, beloved Gurudev, with thee in my heart, with a smile on my face, let my hands work ungrudgingly for truth alone. Om Shanti. Shanti, Shanti. Jai Guru.